to order. In attendance at the moment are President Karen Hartley Nagel, Councilman Taggart, Councilman Shelton, Co-Chairman Bell, Pro Tem Hollins, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Weiner, and Penrose Hollins, Trustee Aiden Nakai Trailer is here today. Thank you very much for leaving and coming back and taking care of everything that has to be taken care of.
Motion to approve the minutes of June 13th as distributed.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? First item on the agenda is 17-071 under the sponsorship of Councilman Bell and myself. Any questions, comments, concerns from members of council? Hearing none. Seeing none. Chief, I want to have a discussion briefly now on the plan for county police for county parks this summer.
Yep. Good afternoon, Vaughn Bond, Chief of Police, Castle County. Plans for this summer, parklands, obviously, as it is in each summer, springtime and summer, we see an increase in calls for service within the county parklands. The primary calls of service come from Glasgow Park, Banning Park, and Delcastle. I think Glasgow Park has been proven over the last few years to be the primary source of issues. They mainly range from the parking violations that occur down there as a result of the high usage and the many activities that take place there during the course of the week and especially on the weekends. So we're well aware of that. Last year, we had a rash of the thefts from motor vehicles. Fortunately, this year we haven't seen as many. We did recently have an incident in the Glasgow Park that we're currently investigating through our patrol and criminal investigations unit, where a lady that was out exercising was offensively touched by an individual that was riding by on a bike, and we're still trying to follow up on that. Some of the things that we're doing right now to try to keep a closer watch on it is with our community engagement specialists. Those officers, we're actually mandating through the patrol lieutenants that they spend time in the various parklands during the course of their shift, making their presence known. We're also utilizing the mounted patrol unit a lot more. In fact, they were out in Glasgow Park this afternoon for a period of time, and we're trying to move them around just for the high visibility. We're also asking the patrol officers to maintain a presence in there. We do have some funding that we can make available for the pay jobs in the parkland. We have not gotten to that point yet because, knock on wood, things have been relatively calm for the most part in those major parklands. As far as parklands, some of the parklands, the smaller parklands, primarily along the Route 9 corridor, the Dunleavy, Oakmont, those parklands, we're actually asking our foot patrol unit, Officers Orlando and Bill, to maintain a presence and add that to their property checklist. So they have been out there walking through the parklands. We're also asking the sector cars to do the same thing. But we're primarily, right now, we are utilizing those resources. We did not move any of our federal pay job money over yet, as we did over the last couple years, to go into the parkland, but that's not off the table if it starts to increase. We started talking, and I'll allow Major Feaser to chime in and come up here and speak a little bit about it, but we realized that, you know, it's what we need is a more of a presence in our parklands, and one of the things that we talked about was the ability to have a cadet program, a program where we can have non-police officers, something similar to like what you see in Downtown Visions in our parklands. And so there was a lot of discussion that came up, and we had a lot of good ideas. It was reduced to paper, but it's still something that I don't think we're going to see for this year. But Major Feaser, she can speak with you a little bit about it, and then I'll come back up and you know, answer any questions that you may have about that. But I think if we can get this off the ground, which I'm confident we will, I think that we'll be able to see more of a presence and less issues and problems down there in our parklands. So I'm going to please you.
And as the major comes, we want to recognize the presence of Councilman Powers and Councilman Woods.
Thank you, sir. Major Wendy Fuser, Newcastle County Police. One of the things I was tasked with by the colonel was to look at the cadet program, and I just want to put out, we're still in the planning stages of this. We're still trying to figure out the funding and just how we're exactly going to make it work. But the proposal for right now is to do a pilot program in the three large parks, Delcastle, Banning, and Glasgow. We would hire 12 cadets, which would be between the ages of 18 and 21, enrolled in a college program looking towards becoming a law enforcement officer. So it would act as a recruiting tool for us also, so that we could get some young people that have an interest in it, come out, start working in the parks, hopefully gain some that they really will like Newcastle County and want to stay there and eventually become officers with us. They would work in teams of two, report directly to the park where we would house bikes for them. They'd be bike trained and they would then get on the bikes and ride their shift. We would have them out between the months of towards the end of April towards to the end of October. In the spring and the fall, it would be mostly weekend hours, and then in the summer, we would have them in the park every day except for Mondays. We kind of worked it out that way, so they'd be under 25 hours a week. They would go out, like I said, in teams of two, and there'd be two teams in each of the parks, so we'd hire a total of 12 to cover the parks. There's questions I can ask you. There's a couple questions, so before I go further.
Councilman Powers and Councilman Smiles.
And I know you said Visions, I don't know that. I know Middletown does it, and for the same reasons. They go out in teams of two through Middletown cadet program, because I know some kids that went through it that want to go in to be a policeman. And I think it's a good way to, you know, you can weed them out pretty damn, you know, quick, they'll see something. So I think it's a real good idea.
Councilman Small.
Do you have a preliminary cost estimate?
Yes, I do. So we're estimating, so the officers or the cadets would be equipped with, we put them in a uniform that would not remotely look like our uniform at all. Probably be black shorts and a high visibility shirt that would say Park Patrol on it. They would have mace and a radio, and then they receive additional training. So we're looking, and we're looking at putting them in vests if we have them out there in bulletproof vests. The intent is to use what we have in-house if it fits them. If it doesn't properly fit them, then buy it. We're estimating around $10,000 for equipment to upfit them if we need to buy vests. Somewhere around $10,000 to get them trained for their initial training. And then approximately $56,000 a year to put them in the parks for that entire time from April through September.
The 56,000 in the park, is that per?
Total.
Total?
That's total for all 12. And we estimate it, if we were to put officers out there on pay jobs, covering it with one officer in the three parks, it would cost around $97,000. For two officers, which is the same as the cadets, for that same time, around $194,000. Versus the 56 it'll cost, $55,941 for the cadets.
So that would be 76,000 total top, roughly.
Yes, probably closer to like around your 65, because we'd incorporate the training into some of those weeks. So, but if you wanted to incorporate the training, yes.
Councilman Wan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very supportive of the cadet idea. I hope that you can implement it, launch it successfully within the next year, and it certainly behoove us, not only from a fiscal integrity point of view, but also from training and calling out from potential leaders to become police officers in the future. And it provide coverage in our parks, certainly our most regional parks that are most need of services. I hope that it could expand to include other parks as well. We've had drug activity and violations of our code concerning sales of trucks and so forth in the other parks, so it would be helpful as well if in the future we could expand that program. So kudos.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Council President.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, it seems obvious that it's going to help with the recruiting, but will you be able to keep track for us and update us as to how it's helping with our recruiting?
Yes, I mean, we'll keep track of who's in the program and where they go, if they just eventually leave or if they actually come into the agency.
And perhaps why they leave, so that we have a better idea of why we're having, the reasons that we're having trouble recruiting and keeping recruits.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Co-Chairman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Tech.
Just a comment. I think it's an excellent strategy, excellent vision to do this program. And as Councilman Power said, you know, you look at some of the other municipalities and the towns and stuff, and they've done this in some of their parks, whether it's Battery Park or down in the town of Middletown, everything. Been very successful. But I think it's a win-win all the way around as far as recruitment and getting folks interested and kind of whetting their appetite a little bit to go on with a career, full-time career in policing and everything. So I just nothing but compliments on the department and the acting director of public safety.
Thank you.
Councilman Tech.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
How is he doing here?
I think I did there. So, Major, would being in this program, I guess, potentially guarantee the people a spot in the next academy?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
They still would have to go through our process and make sure we vet them through everything. I mean, they'd have a background done on them in order to get this job, but they would then have to go through the entire process.
Right. And would you envision them also doing enforcement in the parks? Because one of the big issues in Glasgow is a lot of times parking. You know, certainly having a visibility on the trails or something can, you know, could help something like this. But parking always emerges every single year at Glasgow Park. You know, I mean, would they have the ability to go in there and...
I'm glad you brought that up, sir. So one of the things that we have to do is make a legislative change, which we're going to need your support on, and that is for the county executive to be able, and the chief of police to be able to appoint cadets and then have them enforce county code. So the only thing they will be able to enforce is county code violations, but that includes parking violations. And then being in the park after dark, you know, drinking in the park, things along that line. If we got into thefts or to major crimes, we'd have to call a patrol officer in then to handle those. But they'd be able to take some of the reports, but if you're talking about making an arrest on a Delaware state code, we'd have to call a full officer in.
On it, exactly. So good. Okay. And then you've got have we explored, or we don't like the ideal, or is there any potential for cameras?
I'll defer to Paul.
Paul Freese from Special Services. I know there's nothing in the budget now for cameras in the parks, but we did an estimate on the design. It came in at about $1.2 million. To do all three parks.
They'll get 2 dozen cadets.
So,
yeah.
24 hours.
200,000. So the installation includes electricity and some IT infrastructure as well, because of the way they're going to be connected. Tag readers, however, are operational as well.
Yeah. Councilman Power.
With Middletown, they're patrolling, they're going through the town and they're going through the parks. But I think just the presence and have the radio is going to stop a lot of that, especially ticketing. They start getting some tickets real quick, you know, especially when they're in the park. But I kind of see that, and Councilman Bill probably does in Middletown. It does help through the summer months.
That's what the hope is, that there'll be a deterrence, especially when we put them in a very bright shirt, that they're easily seen,
yeah,
that it'll start to be a deterrence.
They're in yellow shirts, almost, I think, black shorts or something. You see them, and they're riding on bikes. I just think the presence is probably cheaper than the mask. You know, because there you're stuck with one camera, one spot. Here, they're moving all over.
We all look into that taser rings I heard whispered about today.
Councilman Shelf.
I just want to concur. I think it's a great idea. Even raising the age limit up, you know.
60.
18 to 20. Well, I'm not quite that old, but 25 or whatever. 18 to 25. Well, I'm talking about not quite myself, but yeah, you know.
And
you have to do something now, ride the bike.
We're open to the age being moved. We're just trying to also, you know, help supplement some of these kids that are
sure,
trying to make ends meet while they're going through college to help.
One of them three wheelers.
Let me express my concern. And Chief, I certainly appreciate, and I happened to go out to Dunleaf the other day and go to the pool to have an argument with my city association president. And I was very pleased to see two officers there to protect me from her. I think, you know, that's a great initiative, and I made it clear that given the history of what goes on in my parks, I need gunmen. Now, other folks may have a different view about their parks and how they want to protect their areas, and I'm just going to say this, and then you, the police chief, you do it, you deem appropriate. But I would suggest that you consider, you made the analogy with Downtown Visions. Well, on Market Street and Downtown Visions, they're 7-8 blocks away from the police station. There should be police vehicle in the immediate vicinity, in the immediate area. That was part of putting that package together. In our situation, you got parks, and you've got large parks where people can be isolated, people are isolated, and you give a child, two children, confronted with somebody who may be intoxicated or ready to protect themselves, given our deployment and the whole conversation I've had about something happens, here comes a million cops from a million miles away, I think there's a potential danger there given the amount of time it's going to take a car to get to that person with the radio. So, y'all the police, you know better than me. I'm just asking you to consider that potential danger, because to me that's real.
And we have, and that's part of the reason why, you know, when we talked about the program and putting together, you know, what type of training we were going to give them. Obviously, we're going to make it very clear to them that we don't want them to physically engage anyone. And we're going to arm them with the verbal judo, communication skills. They're also going to be trained, and they will have some form of mace that they can use to protect themselves, but in no way are we going to encourage them to go hands-on. Now, we have to recognize that there's always a potential, and there's always a possibility that you're going to confront someone who might try to do harm to you. And that's part of the reason why we're saying that, you know, at the very least, we want to make sure that they have something where they may be to hold off a suspect, but also to arm them or equip them with body armor in the event. And that's, you know, it's a shame, but it is something that we have to be concerned about. And sending them out there without that gun, without ammunition to defend themselves, but we're going to do the best that we can in terms of the training and the equipment that we can give to them legally. We're going to make sure that they are proficient in how to use it and know when to back away from a situation, how to get on that radio. And we'll also make sure that the squads that are working are going to be fully aware that these are individual officers or cadets will be out there in the parkland. And, you know, from time to time, like, we're going to move them around. So I heard someone mention, you know, about the smaller parks. You know, just because we're saying that, you know, Glasgow, Banning, and Delcastle are our primary issues, if there's other problems that come up and we need to move them, you know, we can simply pick them up and say, hey, you want to go over here for a little bit of time until we can get a hold of whatever situation is taking place in that particular park.
I give you my two cents, forewarned you of what I think is the coming danger and potential danger. It's up to you, and the will of council is always the will of council. Anything else on this subject? I got two questions.
Okay.
Where's my Rose Hill shooter, and where's the person or persons who shot up the house in Rosegate?
Well, the Rose Hill investigation is still ongoing. Actually had the victim's mother at our building last week, and we were providing her with some updates. It's still an active investigation. But I can tell you that, you know, we haven't laid it down. We haven't closed the books on it. It's still very active, and, you know, we're still working. As far as the Rose Hill, the Rose Gate shootings, we don't have any suspect information at this point. We had some rumors that were coming about shortly after it happened, but we don't have anything that's concrete that can point us in the direction of the suspect.
And I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it. When you literally spray somebody's house 30 to 50 times, how many times they shot, you're sending a message. Number one, I'm going to get my enemy. Number two, we're in charge. And number three, y'all not going to do nothing about it. And as long as the person or persons who shot that house up is terrorism in its most dangerous form. Because when you ask the question why folks don't tell, well, if this house got shot up, I'm not telling anybody nothing. Because they're still walking the street. And that's a part of the culture, in my opinion, we got to break up.
Right.
I'll rest with that till the next meet. So next meet, I'm going to ask you two questions.
I'll be so glad when I can answer.
Councilman Woods?
I just want to say I had a community meeting last Thursday, and we had two community policing officers there, and Colonel Bond showed up unannounced, kind of hidden in the back, and listened to his officers do their job, and afterwards he kind of made himself known, and it was very impressive. He's attended a lot of the community meetings, and I want to commend him for that. I think that's great that he's out there and let the community know some of the concerns they had. He was there to really reassure them that they're doing all they can do, and they'll do as much as they can. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Actually following up on a few of the things that came up, so afterwards I was
Well, let me say this to you, and I said it at the Garfield Civic Association meeting, so everybody needs to know. I get notice there's a shooting in Garfield Park. I pick up the phone, I call police chief, what's going on, what do we have, and the response I got was, I'm arriving at the scene now. All I'm going to tell you is, my 12 and a half years, that's never been the answer I got. So if you wanted to impress me, it worked, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, impressing you is always a goal for
me. You got time for nothing else.
Nothing else.
More importantly, certainly the community appreciated it. Appreciates your mere presence there sends another message. So thank you very, very much for being as proactive as you are.
Thank you. It's something, you know, we're really pushing it out. It's not just me, it's the entire command staff. And, you know, this weekend we spent some time, they had the park stay over in Oakmont, Spread Park. Myself, Major Feaser, some community services unit officers, we were out there for a period of time. Also went to a church, a couple of different churches. Major Fusion went to another one where we were recognized for our outreach, community outreach, and you know, we're really pushing that out. And something we talked about in roll calls today, you know, we as police, what we do naturally is we go after the criminal activity. You know, we want to arrest the bad guy, we want to get the drugs, we want to get the guns. But equally important is to make sure that while we're dealing with those quality of life issues, is that we have involvement with the community, and that's why we're really making an effort to get, you know, these foot patrol units started back again, being able to pick them up and move them while we're pushing so hard for the community engagement specialists, because as I said, we take our I guess our duties come from the community, and so one of the ways we find out is it's one thing you can read the paper and so forth, but I like to go to the community meetings and simply and sit down. I was in civilian clothes and sit back and listen, because I think that's the time where you can find out exactly what's going on, what people are saying, and how they feel about your agency. We can look at numbers all day long, and we can say stats have dropped, and we don't have as many calls for service. But it doesn't mean that we don't have issues out there that we can't address. And so anytime when I have time, I like to go and just pop in and, you know, see what's going on and see how we're doing, how we're presenting, whether or not the officers were prepared when they came there. Can they answer the questions? And then are they going to bring it back and follow up on some of the issues and problems that were expressed during that meeting? So
I can tell you, he was sitting in the back, and I saw him, and I didn't want to, I was in plain clothes, so I thought, does he live in this neighborhood? I didn't want to say anything, and then the officers did it, so it was good.
Anything under other? Co-Chairman Bell.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask the department by the next public safety committee meeting, acting director, I'm looking over this way now, but if we could have maybe Chief Miller come in and give us an update on where we are in the hiring process of the dispatchers. I think that it's important when we approve things, but as equally as important, and sometimes more important, is the process of getting people on board and getting them through training. So that would be, I think, very beneficial, to kind of hear what we're doing, where we're at, and when those folks will be on board. So if we can get that, appreciate it.
We will do that.
Okay. And the other thing that I wanted to ask Mr. Chairman of Public Safety is that, you know, Councilman Smiley, through the years, has asked about different costs of different events and different things that we do. And I think it's been very beneficial. It's important for us, especially with when we look at some of the budget cuts that are affecting us both internally and externally from the state. It'd be helpful, I think, and once again, I don't know whether it can be pulled together by the next Public Safety Committee meeting, but what is the cost each year to public safety to provide policing at any type of public event where we're called upon? And I'm looking from a communication standpoint, are there additional dispatchers brought on duty? And from the paramedics, when we provide paramedics. And I guess I'm kind of looking everything from, and I don't want to get into community type meetings that are dealing with specifics to public safety, but more of the thing of public community type events like parades and different things like that. And just to kind of get an idea of what is the cost for our police department. And maybe there's not that many, but I think it would be interesting just to find out what we're paying as the county to provide additional police officers for different public venues throughout the county.
Just one question. If you're asking for public special events, you talk about maybe things like the ice cream festival or the 4th of July parade?
Well,
is there one specific? Because we have several that we...
Yeah, I would say any type of events that are outside the normal approved events of the county.
And
if you would, Mr. Chairman, can I allow Councilman Smiley to expand on it?
Yeah, I think, don't get me wrong, and let me bring it home to me, especially since it's not going to take place this year. I started years ago, before I came on council, with Family Fun Day in the park in my own community. And we would ask for public safety to come out, for the mounted to come out, maybe bring the dog for a while. I think that's what we're looking at, because there's no compensation back that's outside of that. So I think that's what we're looking at when you go to a community event, not necessarily a civic association meeting or maintenance group, but a community parade where you bring the cars, you bring the horses, a fun day, a meet and greet, something like that. I think that's
exactly. And I think we take a look at what the numbers are. There may be some things that are costing us megabucks. And, you know, maybe we should take a look and kind of evaluate as we go along, as far as, you know, we're always looking and we're trying to find internal funding to support positions and our services. And so I really think that, you know, we do a tremendous job. You know, I mentioned to the acting director earlier, you know, she's the acting director of an excellent group of people, and she knows that, and we all know it. But what does it cost to do some of the things? And I'm not saying that we just shut them all down or not do any of them. but what is the cost to some of the larger events where, you know, we could put police officers on the street?
So. I tried to shut them down and it didn't work.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councilman Weiner, and
yes,
I'm going to go back to the major.
I know I've been gone for 2 weeks, but Kathy, are you acting director of public safety?
I am. Apparently, Councilman Bell.
Okay.
It was announced at the graduation.
That's right.
Right. It was announced at the graduation, the academy graduation.
Well, congratulations. What's that?
I wasn't busy before.
Major, I saw that you had your hand up, and
yeah,
I wanted to get back.
Now's the best time to say it. I was going to talk about an event we're kind of excited about on Saturday. And it's a parade, but we have altered the mounted hours for this week, so it's actually regular shift for them, so it's not costing us anything except their time. I'm quite excited about it on Saturday. If you have time, the Budweiser wagon is going to be coming through, and our mounted police has been selected to lead them through the streets of Newark, and we're expecting a large turnout, so it's people that live in all different communities from all over the county, so we're going to use that as an opportunity to let them see what we have and send some of our community engagement specialists out to greet people and talk to them. So that's this Saturday. It starts at 2 o'clock through the streets of Newark, so like I said, probably not the most perfect timing, but...
Councilman Powers and Councilman Small.
I just want to say, kind of on top of what you're saying, we just want to see what it is in the budget. I think it's well worth it. I know at the Cabela's grand opening, there's the mounted patrol there. I've seen other places, they've come down, even Tractor Supply in Middletown brought their dogs down on their dog day. It shows, especially in my district, that the county is doing something.
Putting something back.
Yes, and so the cost, it goes back to like you saying in a meeting, I can tell you my maintenance works, I go almost every day four times, but I usually go to one and I stay the whole time. And eventually you'll hear the real problems afterwards. And you don't hear them during the meeting.
Yeah.
And every officer's ever been to any of my meetings have been great. So, and it just, the community really likes that. They see it, they meet the people, and really there's a face, not person
riding
around the car.
Councilman Small. Okay. Then back to Chairman Bell.
This isn't personal. Okay. It's an observation I made. I usually end up making with everyone when we start talking about money and personnel and time. And that is, you made the comment, it really doesn't cost us anything but the time because they're basically on the clock. And my difference is, were they not there, they would have been somewhere else in the county performing the enforcement service. So those dollars are relevant, at least to me. That's all I know you do, but I don't want to be 2 weeks from now bring that up and say, well, you didn't say it to the police when they were there. Yes, I did.
Go Chairman.
We won't let him cut you.
Go Chairman Bell.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. And I don't want to be have it misconceived is that, you know, in no way, shape, or form am I suggesting we do away with any type of community initiatives that partner and bring us closer to communities and everything else. But I think that there are some events that if we take a look at that there may be a cost. Is it a shared cost? I mean, if it's you know, it's one thing we're partnering up with a town or a city or whatever to do things, but are there shared costs? You know, and just to kind of get a handle on what do we pay for? You know, if someone says that, hey, saw dozens of county police cars at some kind of event, you know, we have some ideas to what the investment is.
Councilman White.
Yes. I ended up on two of these local community networks, which the police department uses to put out announcements and people sell things or they tell each other about it. And it always confounds me when people will tell all their neighbors about a crime, but they never thought to call the police. And my response is, have you called the police? And people sometimes get argumentative with me, well, that's your job. No, you have to make a first-hand report. And I try to be as polite as I can, but maybe when you're sending out notices, you may want to remind folks that there's a duty, a citizen duty, to make a first-hand report of anything that not only is criminal, but suspicious.
Councilman Wood.
They brought up the Nextdoor app that a lot of people are
using.
That's
what I was talking about.
And the officers made it very clear that they don't monitor the Nextdoor app, that they do put things out that the residents still need to call. So I know that the community officers are definitely stressing it. He stressed it very that meeting also. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else on the other? Anything from the public?
Motion to adjourn.
Smile.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you.